Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tonight's stories.
Telling my friend she's ugly.
Silence.
Backup child.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Brandon.
Sam.
So you talked about some accusations earlier, Sam, about, you know, how we are once again shooting an episode, you know, with only three people of the four.
Right.
We did have an episode that they just saw last week where we were all together again. So what happened, Sam?
I think that was shot 6 months ago.
Oh, you think that was shot? You think I'm trying to manipulate the narrative?
I think you are, because I haven't seen SJ. I literally haven't physically seen SJ since that, the joke episode.
Oh, no.
Look what we got here. We got a June 12th. This was shot. We got a June 19th. And a June 26th. I'm not changing any narrative, Sam.
Just hit the like and subscribe. Just for that.
I want to make amends with her right now on the show. It did hurt me, the things that were said.
Okay.
And I don't even want to single out SJ because it was the piling on. There was a singing of celebration by you. You also made some choice jokes piling on as well. There were a lot. All of you kind of banded together.
Teamwork. Sorry, I'll be silent.
Like this first story?
Oh. Like this first story, but go ahead.
All I want to say is, I do advocate for an HR program to be instituted on the Comfort Level.
It's not in the budget.
And that's what you keep saying, and it allows you to reign over this company with an iron fist, but I really think we should have an HR department because there is an age discrepancy, and I feel like there were some ageist comments made towards me. People in the comments had heard of Brace Face. It is a relatively recent show.
Oh.
Okay. No, I hear you. I just
this is what HR would help for. They would be sitting right there and they'd be writing down like, yeah, did you have to do the okay? Did you have to sigh like that when I said that?
You sighed. You sighed.
Because I sighed in response to your sighs.
I just said, oh.
You didn't just say,
and I said,
oh.
Okay.
You didn't see those? We need an HR. This is crazy.
All right.
All right.
First story. Sadia, come back.
Please come back.
Please.
Sure, I miss you, actually.
He's in shambles.
I genuinely do miss her.
All I want for my birthday is an HR department.
Oh.
Yeah. I think we're thinking two different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, your birthday's coming up quicker, so we can focus on that one.
Yeah, let's do it.
We can just push the HR department, I guess, to the side.
Okay, I think.
Well, it's his birthday first, so whatever he said. And
comment below if you think we should institute an HR department because of bullying that happens on the show.
Or also comment below, Sam, you're fine.
So this story is, am I the asshole for silently changing my son's name after my brother and sister-in-law gave my nephew that name too?
That name too?
So like they both had the same name, but he changed it.
Oh.
Isn't it really complicated to get your name changed?
There is something about that, yeah. No. There is something about that.
Oh. I mean, I don't think you are, but you named them first. I don't know. That's weird.
How would you feel if you had a name for your child and you told somebody and they took it?
Oh.
oh, they took the name. It's not their name. It's not like they named them their name. They took a name that they gave them. Oh.
That's messed up.
Am I the asshole for silently changing my son's name after my brother and sister-in-law gave my nephew that name too? My wife and I had our son 4 months ago. We had a name chosen early in her pregnancy. We kept that name to ourselves, but my sister-in-law, married to my brother, found it out when she was still pregnant with my nephew, almost 7 months old. She never said how. She just told us she loved the name, congrats, and she couldn't wait to meet him. We assume she snooped because she was not told. I even mentioned it to my brother, and he said that his wife does like to browse through people's things like it was no biggie.
What?
That's when my nephew was born, and they announced his name, and it was the name we chose. First, middle, and last.
Whoa.
That's insane.
My brother called right after sister-in-law posted the announcement, and he told me to keep quiet because his wife had a rough birth, and she didn't need any drama, and he knew we might like it, but she really wanted the name. Her reason? My brother and I have matching twin-like names, and sister-in-law wanted to connect our two boys by just giving them the same name so they were each other's namesake. My wife and I talked it over, and we decided to pick a different name, but we'd pretend to keep the original name until there was zero risk of sister-in-law changing my nephew's name. 6 months after a birth is harder to make a change in our state. We only started telling people the true name last week. My parents and sisters said it made sense. Friends and my in-laws understood why we did it. My brother told me I upset his wife by silently doing this shit and taking away her choice to match the boys. He told me it was a dick move. I told him his wife using the full name we chose was a dick move. Right. I asked him if he considered how much tougher it would be for both boys enrolled in the same schools right. with the very same names, not to mention banking, doctors, dental, all kinds of stuff. He told me plenty of people have the same name and it's not a big deal and it's harder to mix shit up now and we're just trying to gatekeep names. I think he's crazy. So does my wife. She said he clearly doesn't want sister-in-law to be mad, but am I the asshole for what I did? Like, are we weird for thinking of this kind of stuff?
No.
Gatekeep name? I didn't gatekeep it. Yeah. I let you have it.
And yeah. Then the other thing is, she said, what did she say? Something about...
She wanted them to be each other's namesake.
Namesake, but she said something else, like her changing the name made it something.
My brother told me I upset his wife by silently doing this shit and taking away her choice to match the boys. There. He told me it was a dick move.
Choice to match the boys. You're taking away my consent to want to match.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to match with you. There's a reason why I didn't tell you, because I don't want to match names.
Yes. That was so...
No, they're raising the kid to steal the identity of their cousin, dude. They're trying to become the one, and he's going to kill the other kid.
Yeah.
I'm giving my kid his own identity. You're not stealing his identity.
Why?
It is a problem with people with matching names. It doesn't happen that often because you're just like, oh,
so many combinations.
But literally being the same family on the same name, it is going to cause a lot of issues. There's going to be a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of... things that get messed up because they have the same exact name.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
they're over at the same time. You get mad at one of the kids, you call their name, and they both show up.
No, Anthony Rodriguez.
Like, yeah.
That's
no,
I mean
Anthony Rodriguez Luis.
Yeah, that's also. Yeah, that's also, me too. That's
Mike's also son.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I can go get him if you want.
Son of the crazy mom.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Is the grilled cheese ready, Mom? So she said she wanted to, like, honor the fact that the brothers have, like, twin-like names. Why can't you just give him a really similar name? First of all, bring the parents in on this discussion. Yeah. Let's have all four parents in and be like, hey, we really, like, we understand that you're going to name this name. That's really, really cool. We kind of want to name, like, our son this. It's similar to, like, you guys as brothers, but it still gives them, like, their own identity. Like, what do you guys think about that? Are you comfortable with that?
I'm like, they're not brothers or cousins.
Right.
Twin names. It doesn't have to be the exact name.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, let's say if it's, like, Milo and, like, an M, two M names or something.
Yeah.
Just two names that sound similar, but they're...
Uniqueness?
Yeah, personhood. Like, their uniqueness away from them before they're even able to make their own choices. They're like, so... You name my cousin my name because you wanted to honor my dad for some stupid shit him and his brother did because they were in it.
And I know this is...
I don't like you, Aunt Terry.
I know this is some stupid stuff because then it gets to the point where you start to deny logic. If it wasn't that big of a deal, then her changing the name wouldn't have been a big deal. The brother-in-law was like, this is, you're making such a big deal out of this. And it's like, I mean, me changing the name has nothing to do with you. It's not a big deal then.
Yeah, I just feel like she, and maybe brother-in-law, but it seemed like she was trying to make a decision for all three other parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where she got the audacity to do that.
Right.
And I don't think that was her call. And then her being like upset that they like didn't go along with it. Maybe that was like embarrassment or whatever. It's, I don't know what it was.
Weird to me.
It was weird.
There's no update to this, huh?
No, there's no update.
Dang it.
It's hard to even give it advice for this because I would never expect to be in this situation. Who would expect this as a situation?
And I mean, he kind of, they did what they could do. They hid the name until it's a lot harder for her to change it.
Which, how did they, so were they just like secretly saying the real name at home, but everybody else was just like saying the other name?
I want to say it's probably like those, like him and his wife knew what the name was and they had it on the birth certificate. But everywhere else, they're like, yeah, it's so-and-so, you know. And then at 6 months, they're like, it's actually not.
The baby's confused. The baby's like, what is my name? Who am I? Because like, y'all calling me this, my mom and dad calling me this. Who am I?
We just called you baby.
Yeah. Oh, like, that'd be crazy too. They grow up and then the aunt is like calling them by the same names. Like, no, your name is this.
That's the crazy person. Man.
Because of her actions that she made to this day, unless she really made it up, she's not watching the kids.
Yeah.
She might interact with them, but there's not a point where I'm like, yeah, you're the adult. I'm going to leave to just hang out with.
Yeah.
These two kids.
And
you weirded me out. Sorry.
And I do always like when the spouse is like, I'm gonna stick beside her. I'm gonna stick beside him. Because the brother was like, I hate the excuse of like, man, she had a really rough pregnancy, so don't say anything. He was really trying to like nip it in the bud. He's like, hey man, it just happened, man. But don't do anything about it. Yeah, at least he stuck by his wife, even though it would be hard for me if my wife is being that irrational to be like, you know, can you guys just let it slide this one time?
Because then he's also conveying, once he finds out their real name, she's really mad at you for that. Okay. And the husband's also just relaying that information too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care that she's mad at me for that.
It doesn't matter to me.
Anyway, so top comment. But you didn't gatekeep. You didn't tell them they had to change the name they stole from you. You were quite kind and you didn't make a fuss over it. They are mentally deficient. Congrats on your new baby.
Yeah.
Mentally deficient is crazy.
That's crazy.
And then, yeah, everybody's just talking about how, like, you know, my husband works in the financial industry. Same names, same town, same everything. Is a disaster. That brother is an idiot if he doesn't think it's a problem.
Right.
A friend of mine is a junior. His dad's bankruptcies and stuff show up when you Google him. Sure, for a job, you'd look harder, but imagine one of them commits a crime. Most women I know do a Google before going on a date, and now you have to try and argue, oh no, that was my cousin. Yeah, but he has the same name as me. Remember that doctor's appointment you were supposed to make a while ago? The one that you meant to book but got sidetracked and completely forgot about it until now? You know, the dentist appointment for the biannual cleaning or the overdue annual checkup that's been 3 years in the making? Oh, what about that dermatologist appointment for that mole that's been looking a little off? Well, why not book it today? ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now, and it's all online. You'll probably be able to book an appointment by the end of this ad. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty. You can filter for highly rated doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are a good fit for any medical need you may have. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings, choose a time slot that works for you, and click to instantly book a visit. Appointments made through ZocDoc also happen fast, typically within 24 hours to 72 hours of booking. More often than that, you can even get same-day appointments. I use ZocDoc, and you should too. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/CLP to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZOCDOC.com/CLP. ZocDoc.com/CLP. Thanks to our listeners for supporting this podcast, and thanks to ZocDoc for sponsoring this episode.
That doesn't help with dating. If you're like, oh yeah, it's my cousin, and you're like, well, it's your cousin.
Well, especially the same name, because they're constantly being compared. Yeah. Like this next story.
Oh.
I was going to transition, but I was like, I don't know any other words. And she was looking at me.
And I knew you were looking.
I was like, oh, let me.
I was like, I'm going to look. And I looked and I said, comparing me, same name comparing, that's good.
It is good.
He was like, well.
I think everyone's pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
So this next story is, am I the asshole for asking my girlfriend to stop playfully comparing me to her ex?
Yes. I mean, you're not.
I was like,
sorry.
It's fine. She can do whatever she wants.
Let her compare. Yeah, that's what normal relationships are. We're supposed to compare our old ones to our new ones.
Sam,
yes.
Are you doing well in your current relationship?
Wait, is that I'm single? I do that every time.
It's a jokey joke. Yeah.
I always compare the old ones.
But it's not. She really was there for me, and she was a rock for me.
She's actually very supportive.
So I'm actually really disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay, so am I the asshole for asking my girlfriend to stop playfully comparing me to her ex? I, 29 male, have been dating my girlfriend, 28 female, for about a year. I really like her. We have a good thing going, but she has this habit of bringing up her ex-boyfriend in really weird ways. It's never mean, but it's always comparative. Example, I recently started working out more, and when I told her I was excited to hit a milestone, she said, that's awesome. You're catching up to what X's name could have benched.
Absolutely not.
Another time, we're cooking and she said, you're already better at this than X's name was. I finally told her, this bothers me. I said, I don't want to feel like I'm in some competition with her past. She laughed and said I was being insecure and that it's a compliment if I'm winning. I told her it doesn't feel like I'm winning. She's it feels like I'm being measured.
That's straight up gaslighting, dude. That's crazy.
She told me I'm overreacting and making it weird, but I think she's the one being weird. I've never once compared her to my exes. Am I the asshole for asking her to stop?
Get out of there, buddy.
Yes, get out.
Get out of there.
What did JoJo say? Get out.
Right now.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
She's absolutely trying to gaslight you after you communicated. It didn't make you feel good. Because especially those examples, oh, you're finally a little bit stronger than my ex was. He was so big and it took you a while, but you got there. Good job.
You're about to hit his initial PR. Yeah. That's really good for you.
His first one when he first started working out.
Yeah.
He's way, you got a lot to go, buddy, if you want to hit his personal goal.
Yeah, he was natty for a long time, but he recently just started being not natty. And he can lift a lot.
He can lift a lot.
Yeah.
He can still lift me, actually. I see him every other week.
Yeah.
I mean, on his barbell.
I am his barbell.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's weird, especially like you guys are saying, the moment you bring it up, because maybe she didn't realize, because I feel like I've seen those stories where people, they end up talking about their ex too much because like their ex was so involved in their lives. They're like, my ex this, my ex that. But then it's like, once somebody brings it up to you and they say, hey, so you're kind of bringing up your ex a lot and we're now in a relationship.
Right.
That's where you got to really be like, oh, wow, I'm really sorry about that. And move on instead of being like, well, it's a compliment, so take it as one. Instead of understanding that what your intention is for something isn't always how it's going to be received. And if it's received and not the way that you intended it and you care about this person, you should be like, oh, well, I'm sorry about that.
Right.
That was not my intention.
Yeah, you got to validate what they're feeling.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Because I think those are two different things, too. Because there are people who, I've had the thing where I was with someone for a while. So a lot of my stories were with that person. And I think about that. But I still, the comparing thing is a seemingly a malicious thing to me. It's not like,
yeah,
I'm talking about my life and this person was a big part of my life and they're just going to be in stories. I'm comparing you specifically to this person. I'm like, that's a different thing. Because even in my things, I always do a thing where I'm like, oh, yeah, they become my friend.
Yeah.
In the stories, they're always my friend
mm-hmm.
instead of my ex.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, I don't think it's necessary to do it.
Because you're like, I don't have any feelings for them anymore. Right. It's just
Because it is a red flag if you're talking about your ex a lot. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not comparing, I think it is a red flag to constantly, like, are you over them yet? Or how's that going?
Yeah. Yeah, so somebody said, top comment, start comparing her to your exes and be like, you're almost as good as a dancer as Shelly was. See how she likes being compared. I was once told I needed to practice more, like her ex. I told her she needed to practice certain skills more, too, like my ex. We didn't last much longer after that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. No one likes to be compared.
But the biggest red flag is bringing it up, bringing it to their attention and not wanting to change. Like, well, you just took it wrong. Like, it's fine. It's a compliment. It's like.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't understand those people, like, mindset that do act like actively compare people, because what is the end goal? I think that's my question for a lot of things, but specifically for comparing, what is the end goal?
Mm-hmm.
In a relationship?
Yeah.
Or at all?
Like, at all. Like, well, what? Specifically for relationships.
Yeah. Only if you want, I think only, I don't think there is a positive reason to compare your partner to someone else.
Yeah, especially like an ex-partner.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a good comparison, even then, it's not the compliment you think, because in the back of people's mind is, oh, you just compared me to something that your last partner did. You're still thinking about your last partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lose-lose.
Or what about, is it okay if you're like, dang, girl, you're looking thicker than Beyonce right now. Is that a good comparison?
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm not saying, like, in general. Yeah. Like, I'm saying, like, specifically people comparing past partners to current partners.
And to that I'll say, what is your girl going to say when she realizes that Beyonce was your ex?
That, if Beyonce's my ex, yes, I can't say that. I do agree. Because a primary goal of your relationship is to make another person feel special, like, you're the only person for me. Mm-hmm. At least a monogamous relationship, it's you. And I want you. It's not about anybody else. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be with you. I'm excited to be with you. This is what I want, a relationship. I don't want, why are you even bringing up the old stuff?
Yeah.
Which one do you guys want to do?
Tell my friend she's ugly.
Okay, now you guys got to say it again. Hopefully you guys say the same thing.
One, two, three. Backup child.
Okay.
Wow.
I was like, I'm doubling down.
Yeah, I can see in your eyes you're dominating.
He's like,
he's like, you're my son.
Backup.
And I was like, okay.
Papa.
I got small.
Back.
Oh, shout out Tatiana.
Shout out.
I was messaging her today because she found her story that she feels like this is the reason her relationships were like the way are, because her Instagram messages with her dad is just her sending reels over and over.
Uh-huh.
And there's no response. I was like, oh, that's like me and Maddie. And at the bottom of the messages, her last reel was like, it was like a friend thing. It was like, it said me and you and no response to it. I'm like, that hurt me to see. That's the most hurtful thing. You're like, hey, you're like my best friend. No response. And she's like, my dad will not respond.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Am I the asshole for telling my parents I'm not the backup child and refusing to take over my brother's future?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Live your life. Let your kids live your life. Their lives, not your. No, yeah, not your.
No, he's like, yeah, no, life. We are. We're letting them live our
live
lives.
Your life. You made them. They live how you want to live.
So I, 16 male, have an older brother, 19 male, who's like the golden child growing up. Straight A's, varsity, honor roll, all that stuff. My parents basically shaped their whole lives around his success. College savings, private tutors, weekend review centers, all of it. Then he crashed and burned, got a girl pregnant, dropped out, and now he's working random jobs and living back at home. It sucks, yeah, but like, I get it. Life happens. But ever since then, my parents have started shoving all their expectations on me. Suddenly, I'm being told I need to take nursing because it's safe, even though I've said a million times I want to do something in media or design. They pulled me out of the art elective I loved, and now I'm doing advanced science I didn't even sign up for. Last week, they said they were reallocating my Kuya's unused college funds to put me through the same school they picked for him. Not even asking. Just straight up told me, you're our only shot now. You have to make it. I snapped and I said, I'm not your second chance. I'm your son, not your backup plan. My mom started crying. My dad got quiet and said I was being ungrateful and that I should feel lucky they're even trying to help. Now the house is super tense and my kuya texted me, bro, do what they say. You'll thank them later. But I don't want their version of my future. I just want to live my own life. And then they said, am I the asshole for rejecting the life they planned for me, even though they're just trying to help after everything fell apart?
Wait, I missed it. Why did it fall apart for the brother?
He got like burnt out. He got to go pregnant. He dropped out of school.
Okay.
And now he's just working like odd jobs, but living at the house. So he's 19 and OP's 16.
Is it over for him?
That's how they see it. But I think he doesn't want to live under what they have for him.
Yeah.
He dropped out of the nursing school that they put him in. His life's going to be different. He can't just dedicate all of his time to, I mean, if he wants to spend time with a child. It's not over. They might think it is, though.
They gave him 19 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This story makes me sad because, you know, going to the church we go to, it's like learning about purpose and calling and what you're supposed to do in life and how some people chase a dream or chase someone else's expectations and ultimately don't end up fulfilled in their own life. It sucks because as a parent, from the kid's perspective, as a parent, I think it would be awesome
if you just had the support
or just somebody just to say, I don't necessarily understand this, but hey, there's people out here making money just doing whatever.
Right.
So, and it's like, you know, the parents teaching people or teaching their kids how to chase what they're passionate about. Because when you're really passionate about something, influence and money can follow a lot of the times. It might be different. It might look different than school, straight into a job, but at least you won't be miserable. But yeah,
I agree. I think it does. It's unfortunate that, you know, they have a purpose and a plan for OP and they only seem to be willing to help their son transition from being a child to an adult if he's going to do what they want.
Right.
Because already, like, if he's living in the United States, but also probably a lot of countries around the world. Like, it's getting harder to live, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting harder to be able to afford things. So it would be really beneficial if he could have the help of his parents. But I think it's good that he's standing up for himself. I hope he can continue that because that's really hard to do. He's also not old enough where if he needed to move out, he could. He's only 16. So he's, like, you know, in the middle of high school. But, yeah, I think I understand where the parents are coming from, and I understand they probably have his best well-being. Like, we want you to do the best as possible, and this is the safest bet to know that you will be successful. But at a certain point, it's like, you know, are you looking out for me to be successful because you want me to be taken care of, or is it like something where you can like be like, my son, I'm proud of my son. Look at my son for doing this, you know, and I don't know. I just think there's an achievement in having your child be happy and going after what they want. But it's a transition period.
Right.
Your kid isn't going to become like immediately. I mean, they might. But most of the time, it takes a long time for people to really find out what they want to do.
Right.
And find success in that. And, you know, I just think he has. It's challenging with that. I don't think he's the asshole for standing up to them, though, and being like, because he could see it clearly. He was like, you guys never thought about me until you realized you needed a child to like be able to brag about.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't want to do that. And it's frustrating because, again, he's a minor, so they can take him out of classes that he really cares about and put him into things he doesn't want to do.
Right.
And they're like, you're going to this school. So yeah, it does suck.
And I feel I can see what the parents are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
One of the shows I liked on Netflix forever, like the romance show that was like so cute. It's like two high school students who fall in love. But one of the sub stories is the relationship that he has with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very like, she's kind of overbearing, kind of directing his life, making sure he, like, are you doing your college application? Are you doing this? Basketball is not your talent. You need to be focusing on this and this and this. And there's a push-pull between it. Because in her eyes, she's like, I love you more than anything in the world. And my goal is to make sure you're set up for life. And I want you to be successful in life. So according to what I think, this is how you be successful. And I think that's what a lot of parents come from, is like, they see their mistakes. They see things they did in the past. They see things, probably how they struggled, and they don't want their kids to go through it. So the way they express that is forcing them to do something they think is more viable or be more successful. And I know it's probably hard. You're like, dang, I brought this thing in the world. I want them to be good. I just want them to be good without me. And them going along this path, I don't know where it'll be. The only thing I don't think parents realize is, hey, parents, look at where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You struggled. I know you probably rebelled against your parents of things they wanted you to do, and you ended up probably fine. You're in a situation where you have children, you're taking care of them, you're like, you're in a position to do that. Just allowing your kids to have the same
independence,
allowing them to fail if they want to or they're going to, because it does help you in the end. Like, those failing, going through things on your own, figuring out things on your own, it helps you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, trying to set every little step is going to stunt them in the end. It's going to make, when you're gone, it's going to make it harder for them. They can't stand on their own.
Yeah, I totally get that, because I know that there's all these little things that I know I want to do for, like, my kids, and seeing ways that I didn't get to it soon enough, or things that I could have done to be like you're saying, to set up my kids for success in the future. But I get what you're talking about, where you're like, it's too much and you're actually stunting them. And also, look at your first son. He's burnt out.
It didn't work
because you tried to control every step he made instead of being like, hey, you know, even talking about the show Sex Education, I forget what his name, but he's like a main character on the show, and he's like in swimming. He's really good at swimming. He's going to go to college for swimming. His parents are like setting him up to be like a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And he ends up like breaking his arm or leg so that he doesn't have to go anymore.
Arm? I think it was arm. Why do I never think about him when I think of Sex Education?
He's like in like one of the first scenes.
He's like very important to a lot of the story.
Yeah.
But.
But anyway, like both of his moms are very passionate about his success. They only have one child. They just want to set him up with healthy habits, all these things that you could see that's being like so positive. But because you're not letting your child make all these choices and like make room to grow or like kind of do their own thing, it kind of ends up, you know, just burning them out at a really young age. Not every child. And I'm sure there's an even ground that you can do where you're like, I did this and it helped them and they're grateful for it, but they also grew on their own. And I feel like I did what I wanted to do in the end. But I think what these parents are doing is too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hurting them more than it's helping them, like you made the point earlier.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, I don't really know how much I want to read it, but the all the comments are basically just talking about how they don't really know how like viable a career in media is going to be. And I'm like, I get that. I totally get that. Yeah. But like they're like, not the asshole, but also a career in media.
The parents are like paying them. It's all their throwaway accounts. Yeah.
Career media is not all that good.
Okay, so that's actually a good question. I do think parents have to walk a tightrope, because there's a little thing where you're like, hey, let your kids fail. But then there's a lot of kids like, I want to be a streamer. I want to be in social media. And you're like, I know you want to do that. but can we have, can that be a backup, or like, can we do some kind of way you have a backup to that?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like parents do have it harder. Like, how do you convey that? Like, it's even hard because, like, they could succeed, but the chances are stacked against them. Do you just let your kids find that out on their own?
I think so, to a certain extent. Like, I think it's a good idea because I've heard of, you know, where sometimes college athletes, they have, like, a major that they're focused on where they're like, if I don't get drafted or if I don't want to get drafted and I want my career to end here playing on the college field, I have a career that I can go towards. And, you know, figuring out what I want to do. And I think it could be the same for like a social media career. So I knew that when I was younger, I always wanted to do something with like video and like video production, all that stuff. So I've always been interested in that. So when I told my mom, there was like a phase where I was like, I think it was around COVID 2020 when everybody's online, everybody's streaming. I was like, I kind of wanted to see if I can do that.
Yeah.
And then I just realized my personality, like, alone, I feel like isn't really suited for like entertaining people because it just, it tires me out the longer I do it. So I remember I tried streaming for like 3 months and then I would like stream for like multiple hours, multiple times a week. And then I stopped and I was just like, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think I really wasn't getting anywhere. And I kind of faced the fact of like, okay, that thing specifically isn't for me. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a little bit more time happened after that, and I wanted to, that's when podcasting was coming up, and I remember I wanted to do this with you guys and we did this. I always had another job. There was a few times where I was like, okay, whatever, I'm just gonna try this and see what happens.
Yeah.
But when I run out of money, I'll go get a job again. But it's like, I think as long as you have like a backup or you understand that it might not work out and you should always be thinking about options, it's fair to do and it's fair to test it out. But you should kind of have like a time limit of what you're going to give yourself to be like, okay, I'm going to try this for 3 months, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be my full-time thing, but I'll give some time to it.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work, reevaluate, move on.
So do you think that, cause it's actually interesting, both of you actually have a similar path. Do you find that was instilled in you or was that just your personality, like that's how you just approach life? Or do you feel like that's something from your parents' side that they're like, hey, we're gonna let you, because for the most part they have let you, both of you, just like flourish and be like, hey, you guys want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And it is working out, was it successful? I'm just saying, where they were like, hey, I want you to go for your dreams, but also like if it don't work out, you need to be ready for this. Or was this, this is a Maddie thing to be like?
So for YouTube, I remember my mom specifically, you could tell she was like checking up on me in ways. So basically, I was working this job while I was working fast food. And then there was a point where I was like, I got a job at like a corporate company where I was doing media. And I remember I was really excited because I was like, I don't know what this podcast is going to be. It could just be like a fun little thing that I do because it brought me a lot of joy. And it could always just, it could always be that. It could be a big thing. I could leave my job or whatever. But at that point, the corporate job, I was making money. I was making the most money I ever made, which really wasn't that much. It was like my first big girl job.
Yeah.
But I remember I worked there and my mom was super proud of me that I got that job. I was super proud. I was like, this is amazing. Because finding a job is hard, right? So finding a job at a place that I liked, doing something that I liked, I was really excited for. I didn't last. I ended up being let go after the 3 months. And I remember I didn't have a job. I had some savings, but I had actually just had to get a new used car because my car got hit. So I was like, there's a few things where I'm like, bills.
Yeah.
But I basically was like, I have a matter of 3 months to see if this podcast thing is going to grow enough to where I can sustain myself. And I remember mom would come home from work and she'd be like, what'd you do today? And I'm like, oh, I was just editing. She's like, oh yeah, what was every single day? You could tell with the questions that she was inquiring, like, because there was a time I was really into video games. I would stream video games. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you just, because that's what my brother did too. For his unwinding time, he would just play video games a lot of the times when he's off. So he'd play video games like all day. And she was like, I feel like she was trying to figure out like, are you on your computer working or are you like distracting yourself?
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Are you working or are you just home chilling out?
Right.
You could kind of tell with her questions. And so I think eventually after a while, she realized that I was working. I was doing something, even though I was just doing it for myself. And then there was like trust there, but it was never necessarily like judgment. I think she was just checking up to see like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Are you, you're at the house and you say, this is bringing in income. What is this? Like, right. Plus it's like a newer thing, right? Like, you know, having a podcast is something my family's never done. So there was like, they just didn't really know what was happening. I didn't know what was happening either. I'm just like, I'm editing videos and I'm posting them on the internet.
And people are paying for this somehow.
People aren't paying for it. They were
coming in.
Yeah. I was like, I'm doing okay, mom. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about you?
Well, the thing is, I originally went to school for marketing because I thought it was going to be advertisements. I specifically wanted to do advertisements.
Oh.
At first.
You're so corporate.
Yeah. Well, no, I just like not like that type of like I wanted to do like the cool creative ads. Mm. Like I wanted to shoot that.
Mm.
And, you know, I've always had like a special skill to like entertain through like storytelling and a little bit of editing, like when Snapchat was doing like a little weird thing. So I was like, oh yeah, I could really probably do this and go like marketing. And it was, but during high school, my mom knew I was a creative person because like my interest would shift like all the time. Like I was very frantic with what I wanted to do. Mm. I think the last thing I wanted to do was become a real estate agent before I left high school. And then I was like, no, I want to go to marketing. And then I go into for marketing in college and I start to realize it's the wrong side of marketing. I was doing like SWOT analysis and all the stuff. And I was never tested for dyslexia.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Like numbers were very hard for me to like do that all with too. So I was like, yeah, I'm in the wrong side of marketing. So I ended up talking to my advisor. Then I talked to my parents. Then I talked to my mentor. And they're like, hey, just go for it. You know?
Right.
Because I think it's because of what I initially wanted to do in media. They're like, well, that's a viable thing.
Right.
Like people can get jobs from there. So I'm not necessarily worried. But also my parents, I don't know if they like really cared if I was like, didn't make it. And just as long as I could have some sort of independence, I guess.
Oh, I'm like, they don't care if you make it.
No, not like that. Like if I didn't like go big somewhere. And okay. Yeah. So when, I went to school and got better with editing. But I think it was my mom and my dad, but they were pretty much saying the biggest thing they want me to do is realize like what I'm like called to do, but like what is the skill that I have that's like calling me to these certain things? Like, and then that's when I realized, oh, I'm like a big storyteller. That's what I just like to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, so whatever you do, tell a story all the time. So it's like, okay, if you go into advertisement, tell a story. If you do anything else in media, tell the story. Because that's what you're good at doing.
Well, you're good at a SWOT analysis. That's just a story.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, not like that.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just, just focusing on the skill of what I have behind me. And then they're also like, don't, if it's something that's not going to make you money initially, just have something.
Mm-hmm.
Just something
yeah.
that you can support yourself with. Like I remember when I was really, really first starting YouTube and they're like, okay, you're not making money right now. And cause I was like 16, I was like, I'm gonna do it. And I was starting to get like pretty good amount of views, but they're like, we're not gonna pay for anything. So you gotta find you gotta find something. At least something that won't tire you out, but something that can sustain you. And so I guess that was also the big thing is if it's not making you money right now, at least have something to sustain mm-hmm. yourself with.
And let it be a hobby.
Yeah.
Right.
Because one day it could be something else or just keep it as a hobby. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Am I the asshole for telling my friend she's in the same league as men she calls ugly?
Oh.
My friend,
oh, no.
19 female, downloaded dating apps like Tinder and Hinge for the first time about a week ago. For reference, she's the type that always says she wants a boyfriend, wants to do couple things, feels lonely, single, etc. She's also, in my opinion at least, very normal and average looks-wise. Not ugly, but not super hot, just all right. Since then, she's been complaining to me that almost all the men that are on the app are ugly, short, etc., and that she doesn't match with anybody hot. I asked to see which people she was calling ugly, and she showed me her likes, and it mostly showed people perfectly in her league, as in moderately attractive guys. I told her that these guys were all in her league and she should give some of them a chance since she always complains about wanting to be in a relationship. She denied that she's in the same league as them and said that she's so much more attractive than them. I pointed out that in her own words, she doesn't match with any of the guys she does find attractive, so she's not in their league. She said I was the asshole. Am I?
Because I resonate with the story, I feel like some people live like a, well, like, you know, like the movie Shallow Hal, where, wait, Shallow Hal, she's big, but he sees her as skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's big, but he sees her as skinny. I don't know.
Is that the one with, like, one of the people randomly had, like, a dog tail, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
His friend had a dog tail.
Well, I think, like, people have an image of themselves.
They have a complex.
Yeah, a complex about themselves that they deserve a certain level of attractiveness. And let's say conventional attractiveness, because I'm like, I do think, I truly do believe beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's people that you're like, you might look at them and you're like, I don't think they're attractive. You get to know them and you actually do become more physically attracted to them by knowing them. And dating apps really obscure that. It's hard for people who are not conventionally attractive to get success on dating apps because it is purely my face. Mm-hmm. And the problem with guys, too, is like they also have boring profiles, too. So it's like I can see her looking at them like, oh, these guys kind of suck. But some people are so, like, stuck on this looks thing and what they think they deserve, they should have this thing, that they are missing out on people. They're just, because they don't meet this high threshold of something that may not be, it might not be attainable. And you are leaving things on the table. You're like, I can't find a boyfriend. You're like, well, there are people checking on you. You're not even giving them a chance because they're not meeting this idea of what you think is good in a man. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens because of social media. We're like seeing all these images all the time of these people. We're seeing these couples together and we're like, man, I just want that. And I wait as long as possible. And it's like it's not in the Bible, but it's like a God parable. Like, I was drowning and I was praying to God to save me. And he sent a man in a boat and he sent a guy in a helicopter. And he was like, no, God's going to do it. So go on. It's like that where it's like, people are coming for you. It might not come in the form you think it is, but you're just like, no, it's not the thing I thought it was going to be. So move on. I'm still going to be waiting for what I want. And then your life continues to pass you by and you complain the entire time.
Mm-hmm. I think you should finish the parable just for context.
Oh yeah. So God's continuously sending things. He sends someone a boat. He sends someone a helicopter. He sends someone some other vehicle, whatever vehicle to save him. They pass him on. He dies, goes to heaven. You're like, God, why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent you every transportation there is to save you. You ignored it. And like, I feel like people live life like that. They're like waiting for their life to happen, waiting for this fantasy to happen, and letting a lot of opportunities go by.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still young. They're very 19 years old. So it's like, I think you're still in an age where you can like, I can be very
vain.
Yeah, very vain and follow with this. It's fine. But I think there are people, because now I'm in my 30s and I'm seeing people who are like, I've just never had a chance. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you've had chances. It just wasn't what you deemed worthy of a chance.
And that right there is where I feel like he could have said it better.
Yeah.
Because you basically just said it in a way that wasn't going to hurt your friend's feelings. But you're like, I feel like you're not giving these people the chance. He was like, I feel like you're talking to the guys in your league.
Yeah.
To her face. Yeah. And she was like, what?
Yeah.
So I'm like, 19 and 20 again, they're young. I think that's why, like, I think top comment was like, everyone sucks here. I'm so glad I'm not 19 anymore. And then I think somebody else was like, oh, you're a guy. Like, because of his response. Yeah. And just, it was insensitive, even though it was like, she was missing the point because she felt a certain way about herself, right. Which, you know, yeah, but maybe give people a chance before you say no.
It's good to have confidence in yourself and like, yeah. I'm that girl. But also, like, I don't want to say realistic because I feel like it comes back to our, like, settling conversation of, like, settling. I'm like, I don't think it's settling. I don't think it's giving people chances.
Yeah. Be realistic, but then also don't demean in the process.
Yeah, she was being rude as well.
Yeah, right. Just because you don't find the person, people that are matching you conventionally attractive to you, doesn't mean that you should be like they're ugly.
Right.
Because they're just not, they're not what you see, but also, are you giving it a true chance?
Mm-hmm. Which you don't have to give all of those guys a chance, but there maybe was some where you're like, where you were maybe considering a little bit based on like other things, despite the fact that you didn't think they were the most attractive, which is why I kind of agree with what everybody said on here, which is everybody sucks here. Mm-hmm. They both could have been better. I think he called her out. She needed to be called out to be like, listen, girl. But also, he could have said it in a lot nicer way. But I don't think he realized how mean it was, or...
It was mean. It was definitely mean.
I was trying to keep it. I was like...
Yeah. I don't think either of them realized how insensitive they were being talking right. about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was his friend, then you would have think he would have said something different. So I think they both just have a lot to learn.
It actually did remind me of a friend on Hinge, the dating app Hinge. There's this feature called Standouts where they get a special cue where you have to send them roses, which basically you have to pay for to like them. And we look at them like they're typically very attractive people. And I think the algorithm takes them out of the regular swiping queue to put them in this special queue. And my friend was like, man, I don't think I get many likes. I think I'm in the standout queue. And like, I think that's why I don't get any matches at all, because I'm behind this paywall, essentially. And I'm like,
am I the asshole for not bringing gifts to my nephew's birthday because they never give my kids anything? I, 34 female, have two kids. Over the past few years, my nephews have had several birthday parties. We've always been invited, and I used to bring gifts every time. But I started noticing that when it's my kids' birthdays, their parents never bring anything or even acknowledge it. My kids don't even get a happy birthday from them.
Mm.
It started to feel very one-sided. Their parents, my brother and sister-in-law, are often cold and dismissive towards me and my kids. So this year, I decided I wasn't going to keep doing something for people who clearly don't return the effort. I still went to the party, but I didn't bring any gifts. After the party, I got a bunch of texts saying I was being petty and you don't punish kids for adult problems. Now I'm starting to wonder if I was in the wrong and maybe I should have separated the kids from how I feel about their parents. Am I the asshole for not bringing any gifts? And I'm going to read these edits really quick. For those asking, yes, we've always had birthday parties for my kids, and my brother and sister-in-law and their children were invited every time. They've attended a few over the years, but never brought gifts or really acknowledged the occasion. Also, for clarification, it wasn't even my brother or sister-in-law who texted me after the party, it was my parents. So clearly someone complained to them behind the scenes. Kind of ironic that no one said a word when my kids were the ones being overlooked for years. But the moment I stop bringing gifts, that's when it's a problem. I don't think you're the asshole for that. I see maybe where some people are coming from, like, you're not getting the kids gifts for their birthday. But I think it's not like they're not getting any gifts. Are they not getting any gifts from their parents? It's not like you're the person who's requiring them and giving them their only gifts every single year, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to return energy when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, because they're only not, but it's not like they're not supporting.
They're going to the party. They just didn't bring a gift.
Yeah. I could see a future, though, where they would weaponize that. Or they are weaponizing it already.
Yeah. I can weaponize it back.
Yeah.
I can say, ditto. I'm just matching your energy.
Yeah.
How many gifts have you got my kids?
How many times have you said happy birthday to them when it's their birthday? I do way more than that. So. Go ahead.
That's why I agree to a certain extent, but I feel like there's also a thing, and OP might not have that relationship, is like if it's like my niece or nephew, it's like separate from my sibling. Like it's separate from that relationship. Like it's actually to them. So I'm like, hey, I'm getting my kids stuff, and you're important to me, so I'm still getting you stuff, nephew. It has nothing to do with your parents in a way. But mm-hmm. I'm not mad at them matching energy, but if I'm close to my niece or nephew, I'm like, I'm probably getting them stuff regardless of whether their parents, that they have nothing to do with unless the kid is working a job and contributes to the house, to the gift budget.
Yeah, I mean, I get that because I feel like my niece, I mean, she's still pretty young, mm-hmm. so I feel like she's probably getting to the age where she'll eventually start remembering everything as she gets older, but I only just got her a gift like this year. Like, I don't know if that's just me not being the only sibling who's like, I'll come to your party. I'll wish you happy birthday. I'll spend time with you. But yeah. Like, you're getting a ton of gifts from everybody. I don't think you're going to miss me not giving you a gift when I'm here to celebrate you.
Your presence is a gift.
And spend time with you. Yeah. That's what I tried to tell her. Yeah. I put a bow on my head and she walked away. No, I'm just kidding. But she slammed the door in my face.
But I know he can hear me.
I know. Wait, what is that from?
When she's talking about the ice cream truck guy spinning. He's like,
and I know he can hear me.
Bloody nine pence on.
Bloody nine pence. And I know he can hear me.
Gosh, that would be stuck in
my
head.
I missed that video.
Yeah. I know he can hear me.
My God, she would strike fear in my heart.
And he did hear the way I know he drove his car. He probably backed up so quick. He's like, I can't hear her.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, yeah.
And you can only use a bloody card. And I'm sitting here with cash in me hands.
I'm sitting here with cash in me hands.
God, it's like a perfect video, dude.
It's so good. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I think maybe in the future, like as they grow up, if there's an opportunity where like I genuinely am close to the niece, to the nephews, then maybe it's like a moment where you could do that again. But it doesn't really sound like they're very close. Yeah. It sounds like they just show up because it's family.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people can make an argument for why they would keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I understand why OP did it. And I probably would lean on that too to like kind of, in a way, not be like, obviously, like, whatever you, like, sow into our lives is what I'm going to give back. Yeah. But, like, at least for right now, like, you don't even really seem like you want to be here. So,
right.
Listen, like, I feel like I'm giving too much energy to this and I'm just going to, what is it? Let it be? Let them. I'm going to let them. I'm not going to put too much energy into it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Let them.
And also, parents, how old are we? We're, like, in our 30s. You need to stop. We're 34, so you need to stop telling me stuff and let them deal with
it. Let them, parents. That's crazy, parents, though. But it'd be like that. Some parents still be deep in it. Your kids be 40 years old. They still be deep in it.
So why'd you say this to so-and-so?
Yeah, none of that.
Stop. Stop interacting with it. Stop.
Mom.
You're being a butt. does care.
That's the thing. You, I don't know if you guys feel it, because I guess you guys are around your moms more often. Do you ever feel like, I don't, like a kid sometimes when you're talking to them? Because I feel like I still get thrust into that sometimes when I'm talking to my mom. I'm like, oh.
I would say I feel it more so when, like, I'm sad or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go talk to my mom.
And you're like, Mom.
Mom, this. And she's like, that. She's like, it's okay. And I'm like, yeah, this is good. Until next week? No.
That's yeah, happened no. in the past, too, for me.
Yeah, I felt that watching Handmaid's Tale, because in the last season, she, like, sees her mom after not seeing her for, like, basically the entire run of the show. She sees her mom again. And the way she just goes, she said, Mom. And I'm like, will that ever go away? Is that forever that you always have that thing? Mom. That's mm-hmm. crazy to me. You're just a fool. Like, you're, like, 50 years old, you're like, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That
reminds me
of
something. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think that'll ever go away. Yeah. But I do think there's moments where they can't fight your battles anymore, especially yeah. between other siblings. You're like, you call Mom?
Yeah.
You call Mommy?
Yeah, I'm gonna call Mom because you're being mean.
Little 56-year-old Sammy's gonna call Mommy.
Yeah. I'll fight my sister too.
So, yeah, and your middle sister too is like, yeah, you can call mom. You're like, yeah. You're like, you've been in this family for like 52 yeah, years now, yeah. but don't get funny.
Don't get it twisted. Because I will tell mom. You don't think I'm writing this in the family chat right now?
I'm recording yeah, you.
Everything you're saying.
Voice memo.
See what she says. Don't tell her. In your 50s. Don't tell mom.
Stop.
Stop.
Stop touching me. Yeah. Stop. I'm serious.
I can't imagine being my 50s having that conversation. But I know people are still doing that.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay, so top comment. Just tell them I thought we weren't doing presents anymore. Not the asshole. Somebody else said, I agree with that approach. And they put in quotes, oh, I thought you guys didn't believe in birthday gift exchanges. And then they said, also, no, you don't punish kids for adult problems. But honestly, these kids probably have enough gifts and toys. They aren't being harmed in any way.
Yeah. That's fair. That's all fair.
So we should probably get out of here. Yeah. I'm going to reach out to Sadia. I'm going to see if she can freaking come back.
Let's get her back.
Because she was here last week.
I feel like you guys have to, when they are on the screen again, they got to address the elephant in
there. Hey!
That's almost as good as Mount Kilimanjaro. That's so good.
Oh, that was good.
The thing that's funny, though, is whenever we get into a room together, we seem to forget that there's drama as if it's fake and not real.
That's true.
That is true.
And it never gets resolved for the audience because we seem to forget the elephant in the room.
That's very true. Weirdly. I feel like we should write our issues on the board as to remind
us
the issues that we have, because they are so prevalent that we should write them down.
Right.
It's like the presence is like so thick you could feel it, but yeah. it's like we just ignore it.
Yeah.
And we're like happily ignoring it, and like Sam and Cedar are like bonding the most out of everybody right. in the room, and yet you guys have issues.
There is a huge issue, but sometimes we just forget that it's there.
Mm.
So we should write it down, I
think. Yeah, that's weird. I hope we write it down. I hope we address yeah. it the next time we're together. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go do our Patreon video. Hopefully, Sadia, I hope you come back. Sadia, come back.
She just started. She's
already gone.
And we'll see you guys next time. Bye. Bye.
Just hit the like and subscribe. Like. Just for that.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.